This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show before we sail off into the sunset until tomorrow. We have Carol Roth coming up a half hour from now. How is the economy doing? Are there sectors of the economy that are doing well? I'm going to flat out, I'll put it that way to her. And honestly, it's a selfish question because I have sons getting to that job market age, and I want to know which direction they should be aimed. Maybe you are in that situation, or your kids are. I'm going to ask Carol Roth about that. We are going to discuss fish. We'll do some other things. But again, the degree to which your country has been handed over to foreigners. Here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal. He had a full ride at Duke until America cut him off. Student visas for Africa's best and brightest were canceled by the Trump administration, leaving empty seats and broken dreams. A full-ride scholarship to Duke, America's university system. It censors out Americans. Look, they bend over backwards to avoid letting any white kids in now, but we're handing over full-ride scholarships to Africans? The amount of this country that has been handed to foreigners, and then when you start taking some of it back, the stories they write, as if every part of the globe is entitled to come over here and bite out a piece of this country, drives me up the wall. The communists do it. And remember, we still have Republicans who do it. Remember, this lady is a Republican. Now, this is a couple different quotes from Maria Salazar. It's the final one that really chaps me, and it's so revealing. Listen to this.
If you are undocumented and you have been in the country for more than 5 years, you do not have a criminal record. You're working and paying taxes. You can come out of the shadows with no fear and apply for the dignity status.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status. We need to also...
This is the one. She's sitting on stage at the World Economic Forum, and I want you to listen to her and listen to how she sees herself and her role in Congress.
So give dignity to those people who are in the country, and those are the people that I represent. We're talking about 13, 15 million people who are, most of them, Hispanics, I would say 85%, who speak my language, look like me.
And those are the people I represent. She's a member of the House of Representatives, a Republican. She speaks about the illegals in the country and says, and I quote, "And those are the people I represent." The level of subversion inside the Republican Party is staggering. Staggering. When we are fighting as hard as we can possibly fight to take our country back from the communists and the foreigners, the collaborators who have pillaged this country, we have to then turn around and dig knives out of our back by people like this. Chris just looked it up. She won her last primary with 88%. And those are the people I represent. Oh, yes, Maria. We know. We can tell. Hey, Jesse, you were talking about young people in Israel the other day. I am a 22-year-old from Wisconsin. I could not tell you one of my friends who has a positive take on Israel. Even my normie friends who vote Trump but don't care for politics make jokes about Israel and how we are a slave to them. 1 year ago, I wore a MAGA hat on spring break in, where's PCB? Well, it doesn't matter. This year, one of my friends who loved it last year said, quote, "I wouldn't wear that anymore with the Israel stuff." I can't help but agree with him. It does seem like we do whatever they say. And he did say, I can say his name. His name is Ira. Well, the poll numbers bear that out. And as I have pointed out before, I believe that Israel thinks, and I think they're correct about this, that this Iran war is their last and best shot at taking out Iran, because the numbers don't lie. Older Republicans are still heavily, heavily pro-Israel, love Israel, 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 all the time. They love it. Democrats are a bunch of jihadi-loving savages. They hate Israel. They don't even hide it anymore. They openly hate Israel. That's just the way it is. But the young people of both parties, Democrat, Independent, Republican, the numbers are shocking. It's shocking how much the young generation does not care for it. Now, maybe that makes you wince. Maybe I can make you feel better. I don't think it will make you feel better, but I can try. They don't care about any foreign country. None. Israel gets talked about so much that it increases the level of anger with young people. But the truth is, young people in this country now, and I talk to them all the time, they email the show, young people do not feel like the job market is good. They don't feel like they have opportunities. You just heard Ryan. Ryan just went over it. They feel like their opportunities are shrinking. They feel like they can't afford a home. They can't find a good job. They can't afford this. They can't afford that. And therefore, they don't want to hear about any foreign country. They don't want to hear about Mexico. They don't want to hear about Venezuela. They don't want to hear about South Africa. They don't want to hear about Israel. They don't want to hear about Ukraine. They don't want to hear about China. They don't care about foreign issues because, as I've warned, people stop caring about foreign issues when they feel unhappy at home. When they feel like domestically things aren't working for them, they don't want to hear about a foreign country. The reason Israel resentment is higher with them is you hear about Israel all the time from our politicians. So if you're a young person and you think, I don't care about foreign countries. I don't care about foreign countries. I care about the jobs market. I care about here. If that's your stance, and then every single Tom, Dick, and Harry politician and podcaster and everyone else gets up and says, Israel, 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 all day long, that young person is going to start to blame Israel. Well, wait a minute. Shut up about Israel. That's how they feel. And that email, I've had a million of those. That's how young people feel. Back to what I discussed. I think Israel thinks correctly that this is their last shot at removing Iran. I suspect they're not thrilled with this ceasefire negotiation. That's what I suspect, because it's not going as far as they want it to go. Hey, Jesse, great show Monday. Became clear to me the U.S. doesn't have a government capable of fixing the country. By fixing it, I mean reverting back to a small, non-welfare, non-entitlement, and patriotic cohesive union. The reason is because our culture as a country is permanently shattered. Yes, foreigners making tribes, both legal and illegal invasions, but the traditional Christian culture has succumbed as well. The societal incentives that used to keep marriages together, make men be fathers by providing us a strong work ethic, are gone. All right. I understand your concerns, and obviously there's a bit of truth in all that. Certainly a bit of truth in all that. However, I think you need to get to Red America and visit. Yes, it is very true that we are very, very fractured, and the family unit and fathers, that stuff is very, very true. But I live in a different place. I live in a place that is 92% Republican. I live in a blood red place. I have great kids, great families all around me. Great families. Great families. Values. Yes, sir. Hard work. Look, couple kids again today on the way to work. Shoot. Had to be 10 years old. It was hot today. Standing out there. Lemonade stand. I see good, solid families, solid parents, solid kids, solid values all around me. Of course, it's not everybody, right? Of course, it's not everybody. But I think if you live in a blue area, you can get a little despondent and think the entire country is a dirty, crime-ridden, fractured mess like your blue area. Not telling you you have to move, although I've suggested that. Let's take a little vacation. Take a long weekend. Get out to Red America. Maybe it's just a drive. No one wants to fly right now and wait in line at the airport. Take a drive. Get around. All right? All right. We'll do a couple more emails. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Carol Roth is going to join us 10 minutes from now, and I'm going to ask her what parts of the economy are working, right? There's a lot of ugly talk out there. This isn't working in manufacturing. What is working? Is there anything working? Well, we'll talk to Carol about that in a moment. Headline: seafood industry tries to make fish look and taste more like meat. That's from the AP. You know, I think the propaganda campaign around fish might be the largest propaganda campaign in the history of mankind. What, Chris? What? What? Chris said, is there any seafood that I do like? Yeah, I like all the good kinds of seafood. I like crab, crawfish, scallops, calamari, lobster. Scallops do not suck. Take that back. You can't even eat scallops. Surely you people aren't allowed to eat scallops, Chris. No, it does not taste rubbery. No, anyway, I like all the good kinds of seafood. I don't like what everyone doesn't like. I don't like fish. It's weird how you don't see any propaganda campaigns trying to hold up crab legs. You know why? Crab doesn't need any propaganda at all. You don't have to, well, I put my Cajun butter sauce on it. You don't have to take crab and come up with a special beer batter for it. It doesn't need any of these things because it's good. And yet fish always seems to need so much help. Interesting, isn't it? Dear Jesse the Vest, I am a father of four budding anti-communists. Two of them are girls. My oldest is driving now, and I'm concerned about her safety on the road. That said, the presence of unmarked police cars on the roads concerns me greatly, having seen so many news stories about predators that impersonated officers to pull their victims over. I don't think it should be legal for patrol deputies to be in unmarked cars. What say you? It says I can say his name. His name is Tim. I'd actually never given that thought, and I'm ashamed of myself for that. And here's why. I don't have daughters, and every time I talk to a friend or somebody, or Tim, who has daughters, you realize that parents of daughters have this whole list of other fears that parents of sons do not have. And it's not that you don't have fears when you have sons. It's not that at all. But public places. My sons now are 15 and 17. They are both north of 6 feet tall. My 17-year-old is like 6'5". And I'm not here to tell you that they're the toughest kids who ever walked. They're not weaklings. They're, you know, in shape, young men, teenage boys. I don't have to stress about them in public settings now. I took Luke, my youngest, I took him to one of those World Baseball Classic games. It was here in Houston. he wanted to go get a cheeseburger at Whataburger. And I went down there with him just to check out. I wanted to see if they had any Great America gear. We walked by the shop. And then I got him to Whataburger. And I said to him, well, see ya. I just went back to the seat. I got back to our seat and Ob looks at me and says, where's Luke? I said, I don't know. Around somewhere in the stadium. You can't do that with a little 15-year-old girl. With 15, I forget. I don't have the right perspective. I forget the stresses and fears of parents with girls. And I forget, and I don't appreciate, I know this, just a woman in general of any age, the fears that go through a woman because women are prey so often and there are so many predators and dirtballs in our society. When I walk around, I'm aware of my situation, but I don't sit and look and think about who might be a predator to attack me. It just never even occurs to me. I'm a 6'8" male. It doesn't occur to me. Ob has to think like that, you know? And as far as the unmarked patrol cars go in these stories, I think the solution is to find the predators in our society and throw them out of helicopters. That's what I think. I think that we as a society are far, far too kind on men who are predators to women. Far too kind. And yes, I think a 10-year, 20-year prison sentence is way, way, way too kind. If you are somebody who violently assaults women, you are irredeemable. I don't mean your soul. That's not what I'm saying. But as far as your human life goes, you are somebody who can never, ever provide any value at all to society. You will be a danger to those around you your entire life because your value system has to be so insanely screwed up to attack a woman in that way that you should just kill them. You have a trial? No, I mean, Chris, it's fine. We'll be fine. You have a trial? I believe in a trial. I'm not talking about lynch mobs here. You have a fair trial. If convicted by a jury, drag them right out on the courthouse lawn and hang them right there and leave them swinging there for a couple days too. And that may sound extreme. That's how virtually every society in history has done it. Hang them and leave them there after a trial and a conviction. You cannot be saved. And let me tell you, you don't have to worry about marked or unmarked patrol cars if you just start killing all the sexual predators in a society. It's a remarkably simple solution. There actually aren't that many of them. Find them, arrest them, try them, kill them. Find them, arrest them, try them, kill them. Then your daughter's safe as can be. It also helps when you don't elect Democrats or bring them into this country as fast as humanly possible. That's kind of a problem. Anyway, we'll talk to Carol Roth about steak and economic matters next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. We're almost to the weekend. Hold on tight. I'm worried that we're not even going to get to very many economic matters because Carol Roth and I have some food items to discuss. First of all, Carol, I had Ryan Gerdusky on earlier, and I kid you not, I asked something about a chili dog, and he asked me what it was. He had never heard of a chili dog in his life. Am I the weird one here?
No, I think that automatically disqualifies him for ever appearing on the show. How could you call him an expert if he doesn't know what a chili dog is, Jesse Kelly?
Thank you. I knew you'd be with me, Carol. All right. Now, Jewish producer Chris informed me that you're getting a steak delivered. Can you walk me through the thinking here?
Yeah, so I'm really in the mood for steakhouse steak tonight, you know, like kind of the whole thing. And so the options were to go to a steakhouse, which means I have to go to a steakhouse, I have to interact with people, and I'm in Chicago, so I'm also taking my life in my hands. Or I could just get it delivered to me. So after consult with the husband, we are going to DoorDash a steak.
But
like actually two steaks, one for each of us.
My problem is the cost, Carol. Not paying for it. I don't want to make myself sound like Chris. It's paying that much money and getting a lukewarm steak. The juice is not worth the squeeze.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Kind of do the pros and cons here. So we're in downtown Chicago, so we have to go and either pay for parking or get an Uber. So there's costs involved. You know, I am an economic expert, so I always have a coupon code. So that helps defray the overall cost. And then you just get the temperature kind of one notch below wherever you want it cooked. So then you can just, you know, kind of throw it in, get a little bit more heat going and get it exactly how you want it. And actually, if you get it from a good place, we've done it before, it comes out great.
All right. Yeah. Carol, how's the economy doing?
Well, obviously for me, it's doing okay. Uh-huh. But for everybody else, you know, it is, we've talked about in the past, this K-shaped economy. And I think that we've moved forward in the alphabet. We are now at the E-shaped economy. So if you think about a capital letter E, there's three different prongs. You have people who are the highest earners, who have 401ks, who have houses. And even though the stock market has taken a little bit of a hit overall, those people are doing well. They're supporting the economy. They're the ones that are, you know, outspending and doing pretty well. Then you have in the middle, you have the middle class, and the middle class continues to tread water. You know, there remains an affordability crisis. Prices are elevated. Obviously, the cost of gas going up and all of the derivative products from oil that are, you know, going to be going up is not going to help. So, you know, there is this struggle in kind of the middle tranche of the economy. And then, you know, the people at the lowest rungs are continuing to struggle even more. So it continues to be a story of the haves and have-nots, which is not good, for society, for morale, you know, really for anything. We want everybody to be participating in a great economy. And unfortunately, it seems like the president, every time that, you know, we kind of start to make some progress in our video game, he likes to go on side quests, and it distracts from us leveling up.
These side quests, for instance, Iran right now, is that directly affecting anything, everything, affecting it a lot, affecting it a little? What effect is that having as of now?
Sure. I mean, no pun intended, oil flows through everything in the economy. And, you know, when you first see it at the gas pump, obviously that hurts your wallet and spending decisions. But, you know, quickly we're seeing this conflict impact things like fertilizer and inputs that are going to be critical to farmers who are, you know, coming on their spring planting season in certain parts of the world. That's going to impact food prices. As I mentioned, there are 6,000 derivative prices from oil. So, you know, oil being down last year and earlier in this year, you know, that had underpinned keeping inflation somewhat contained. You know, it was still up, but not as much as one might have thought. As oil started to rise, as this conflict escalated, you know, kind of the first piece of it before the most recent piece, you're starting to see that in the PPI numbers, which is the measure of wholesale inflation. So we usually see that coming first, and then it makes its way to the consumer. And certainly now with this prolonged conflict, I think it's pretty well accepted that we are going to see increased inflation, which is just coming at a time, you know, as I noted, that is tough for everybody because people are trying to keep up with the, you know, the effects of inflation from the Biden administration, the continued lag the continuation of that, and it just makes it very difficult for individuals to get ahead.
What industries are doing well?
Well, if you are in certain places in AI, particularly AI infrastructure or one of the big tech names, there is a lot of capital that's flowing in that direction and a lot of bets being made. So those industries seem to be sustaining themselves. There are aspects of healthcare that are doing well in places that we're seeing job growth, although that is, you know, somewhat government related. And then unfortunately, you know, the gaming and gambling industry, whether it's prediction markets or, you know, these kind of sports betting sites or whatnot, that's also doing well as, you know, sort of a desperation move of entertainment, a way to say, hey, you know, let me try to take my luck and try my luck here and make some money. And that's not great for a society and a sustained economy. We don't want gambling to be the way that people are trying to better their economic future. It's the losing proposition for everyone except for the gaming companies, who, again, are the ones who are doing well.
Okay. It's so funny you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question. I feel like everywhere I look now, there's a gambling company, there's a gambling advertisement, everything is sponsored by something gambling. It's not my imagination, right? This is bigger than it was before in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's gotten to the point where, you know, this is one of the leading growth areas for our economy. And it's everywhere in every permutation. So it's not just contained to these, you know, little pockets. It's pervasive. It's moving down to the youth culture. Now we have transformed, you know, going just from things like sports to we're betting on everything with these prediction markets, which are, you know, basically cloaked as, oh, you know, this is just fun, but it's basically gambling on everything from news to politics, and obviously lots of insider action that we can see happening there, where things move right before there's an ultimate announcement and people are making all kinds of money. And at this point, not being charged with anything, although that may change at some point, but it is just absolutely pervasive. And again, it really is a wealth transfer. This isn't a great wealth creator over time for anybody except for those companies. So it's just shifting capital from, you know, one pocket to somebody else's pocket. And, you know, I've heard in many cases that, you know, some of these sites have rules that if you're somebody who actually is doing well, that they're finding ways to remove you from the site. So they really are rigging it in favor of the house, which if you have a dad like I did, you know, they tell you that the house always wins, and that remains true today.
I want to be a professional gambler. I've seen all the movies. I feel like I would be a good... I watch Rounders several times. I feel like I've got things figured out. Carol, enjoy your delivery steak. Have a good night. Chris, I feel like I could be a good gambler, a professional gambler. What? I have ice water in my veins. What, Chris? What? I only spend $50 when I go to a casino? Yeah, because I'm so good. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Wednesday. But then we're leaving, only to come back tomorrow and do another show on Friday. So do not fear. And you know Friday's a good time. Email your questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll hack away at everything. Also, stop buying into John Fetterman.
Do the right thing. Put the country ahead of the party. Now there's a huge rally, you know, another No Kings kinds of protest. So now it's also probably motivating some people in my party that not they might be afraid to reopen now because they're demanding these kinds of extremes.
Yeah, then he went out and voted against the SAVE Act today. Please, let's stop being a cheap date anytime a single Democrat says something that sounds remotely sane. They do this because they're from purple states, and then they run right back to the Senate or the House of Representatives, and they vote just like AOC does every single time on every single issue. Trump said this about the TSA shutdown.
But they're punishing the American people, including travelers at airports, all in the quest to return to open borders and give amnesty to illegal alien criminals. They want to give amnesty to some of the criminals that came into our country, just about all of them, actually, if you look at it. They love sanctuary cities, which is a sanctuary for criminals. They want to make sure they're taken care of. That's what we're fighting about. That's really what they're fighting. They don't talk about that, but that's what they're fighting about.
I like that he's messaging that way. I encourage this messaging, mostly because it's true. It's also extremely effective. We have to let the American people know there are five-hour wait times at the airport because Democrats want illegals to stay in the country. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. We have five-hour wait times at the airports because Democrats want illegals protected from deportation. Say it, repeat it, over and over and over and over again. Here was Trump on the Strait of Hormuz.
We don't know that they've dropped any mines, by the way, because we blew up all the mine droppers, right? We blew up every one of them. They're going to have to take them out on a rowboat or something. I don't know how the hell they get them out there. But we don't really know. You might speak to it. We don't know. There could be a few of them out there, but that's a lot. You know, if you have a $1 billion ship and you get hit by a mine, it's not the greatest thing in the world. So if you think the problem with that, that's not like you've decimated a military. If you think there may be a mine, that's a bad thought, and it stops things up.
That's what's stopping things up. I wanted you to hear it. I've explained that to you before. I wanted you to hear it from Trump himself. All it takes is one ship getting hit by one mine and that company and that country losing all that money that was in that ship one time. Then everyone else decides, not worth the risk. I'm staying home. It's a simple liability issue. Not worth the risk. This is the problem with Iran. They don't need a more powerful military to stop up the Strait of Hormuz. Obviously, their military is nothing compared to ours. Our amazing military has wiped theirs off the face of the earth. There was no problem at all. We're not talking about a military-on-military engagement here. Also, we are talking about your testosterone. What is your testosterone? What's your energy like? What is your focus? What's your mood like? You find yourself driving home after work and you're just kind of down, dour, nothing to look forward to in life. I know, dour is a great word, isn't it, Chris? What? Chris, I've been doing a lot of reading. I knew I was going to use that. Anyway, Chalk is natural herbal supplements for men, women, young, old, whatever you're looking for. Start your day with chocolate powder. I personally, if you want to know what I take a male vitality stack, clinically tested, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Get a Chalk subscription and turn your freaking life around. You are slowly turning into Lindsey Graham every single day. Chalk will have that turned around and have you being the strong American you should be. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Never forget what Democrats actually want.
If you are undocumented and you have been in the country for more...
Salazar, I must have pressed the wrong button. No, I didn't press the wrong button. Democrats like John Cornyn, Democrats like James Lankford, Democrats like Lindsey Graham, Democrats like Maria Salazar, they all want it. Every single one of them. They want these foreigners here. They want them here without end. Listen to how hard they work against deportation.
Babies are being ripped away from their parents by masked agents. We can and must do better.
This president has unleashed a war on our own people and our communities. It is terrorizing our communities.
They are not going after criminals. They're going after anybody that is brown, that looks like me, that can't pass as what they say.
Evil people.
And now...
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Obama-era CIA director tells MS Now he'll take Iran's word over Trump's. I think the focus of this one should be on the fact that this guy used to be the CIA director. That's the level of communist subversion in the United States government. Homan doesn't rule out ICE presence at polling places. Oh, please let ICE show up at polling places. Central Command says nearly 300 U.S. military troops are injured in the Iran war, have been injured in the Iran war. Keep our troops in your prayers now, please, at all times. It's spicy over there. AI chatbot tells teen his parents are ruining your life and causing you to cut yourself in a chilling app lawsuit. AI isn't going that well, and people are wary of it, and I'm very wary of it. Ex-Obama DHS chief says the shutdown madness from both parties could break the back of TSA permanently. I guess it's not all bad. Lindsey Graham, GOP challenger, makes shocking promise to change NASCAR. South Carolina will rise again. I'm not really familiar with this particular challenger, but it sure would be nice to send Lindsey Graham back to the old underground. IED plot at Florida base reportedly tied to the Iran war. One suspect is in China. I am grateful that we have not been suffering a wave of terror attacks, but there have been some. So keep in mind, you need to have your eyes open and off your freaking phone when you're out in public now. The best defense you have is your eyes. Open them up. You can browse on your phone when you get home. Okay, go sit at a restaurant and browse on your phone, not when you're out and about. All right, that's enough for Daddy Jesse. I shall return for Ask Dr. Jesse tomorrow, and we'll have fun. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.